Hey you guys, what's going on? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx. I just wanted to stop in and let you guys know before you listen to this episode that this is a part of something new that I am starting. Thanks to Anchor, I am able to offer you guys ad-free content for a very low reasonable rate and a subscription fee of $7.99 a month. So for $7.99 a month, you guys will get these episodes where there are no ads. You get the intro, we go right into the episode, you get the outro, that's it, that's all. And yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys got some exclusive content coming to you guys in 2023, whether it's just me going on and on about various topics for an hour or 2 hours, because y'all know that your boy can talk, y'all know the good guy Prince can talk, or if it's me and one of my co-hosts or a panel of us and we're just talking for, again, an hour, 2 hours or more, you guys will get that ad-free as long as you are subscribed for $7.99 a month. And also, be sure to let me know throughout how you guys are enjoying the episodes, because I'm definitely going to be improving on the episodes and the content and the quality of the content that I'm giving you guys in 2023. So yes, once again, you guys, if you would like to get ad-free content like this episode that you are about to hear, please be sure to subscribe to the Royal Hour Podcast via Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever they allow you to subscribe for that $7.99 a month option. Thank you guys so much and have yourselves a wonderful day. Peace. And now, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to the Royal Hour Podcast, hosted by the one and only Prince Onyx. Join me on a daily to weekly basis with the Royal Court and I as we delve deep into a wide range of topics. From entertainment to politics, both professional and streetwise, to personal stories of things that we've experienced. From dating troubles to family drama and even our own tea that'll get spilled. All from a Chicago perspective that at times can be viewed as worldly. You can find us on Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, and more. This is a show that you don't want to miss. Thanks for tuning in.
Was the best acting business decision that you made? So whether that be representation,
firing everybody after Cookie. Everybody had to fucking go. Where is my deal? Where is my commercial? Cookie was top of the fashion game. Where is my endorsement? What did you have set up for after this? That's why y'all haven't seen me in so long. They had nothing set up. All they wanted was another Cookie show. And I said, I'll do it, but it has to be right. The people deserve, she's too beloved for y'all to fuck it up. And so when they didn't get it right, I was like, well, that's it. And then they had nothing else. You're all fucking fired.
I mean, I'm gonna say this though. It took me years to get there because I did have a bit of Stockholm syndrome. Talk about it. Baby, it's very real. You are the prize. Don't you ever forget that. You are the talent. You are their check. Don't ever forget that. They work for you. And if they're not, somebody else will do it. Like 20 plus in the game. And I'm really getting tired of black women having the same story. It's breaking my heart. Like 20 plus in the game, it breaks my heart. It's like every time you achieve something really incredible, it's almost like the industry looks at it as a fluke. Like, that was like some one-time thing. So you fall back to the bottom and you gotta negotiate and fight tooth and nail to get what you made the last time. When, where's my raise? I haven't seen a raise in my income since Proud Mary. And almost had to walk away from Color Purple. What? Yes, ma'am. Who said what? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Because you know what? If I don't take a stand, how am I making it easy for Fantasia and Danielle and Hallie and Felicia? Then what? Why am I doing this? If it's all just for me, what the? Why are you here? We are to service each other. God is very clever. He put us on this earth and he made us all look different. He made it complicated. We need to figure it out. And we can. And we are. You have to look at the glass as half full. It's always half full.
Are you thinking about it? I'm just tired of working so hard, being gracious at what I do, getting paid a fraction of the cost. I'm tired of hearing my sisters say the same thing over and over. You get tired. I hear people go, you work a lot. Well, have to. The math ain't mathing. And when you start working a lot, you know, you have a team. Big bills come with what we do. We don't do this alone. The fact that we're up is a whole entire team behind us. They have to get paid. So when you hear someone saying, oh, such and such made $10 million. No, that's not that. That didn't make it to their account. Know that off the top, Uncle Sam is getting 50%.
That's right.
Okay? So do the math. Now we have 5 million. Your team is getting 30% or whatever your team is getting off of what you grossed.
Sometimes
not
more.
After what Uncle Sam took. Now do the math. So I'm only human, and it seems every time I do something and I break another glass ceiling, when it's time to renegotiate, I'm at the bottom again like I never did what I just did, and I'm just tired. I'm tired.
I get that.
It wears on you, you know? Because what does that mean? What is that telling me?
What is it telling me? Yeah. And what does it tell me? Yeah.
You know? And if I can't fight for them coming up behind me, then what the fuck am I doing? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. Let me just adjust. Hello, hello, everyone, to my beloved, dearest royal court. This is your good guy, Prince Onyx, and this is a bonus episode of the Royal Hour podcast. Now, what you just heard were multiple clips of the actress Taraji P. Henson basically voicing frustrations about an industry of which we have heard from many just like her, from Monique to Viola Davis, Paula J. Parker, Countess Vaughn, so many countless others, Wanda Sykes, and so many, many more. You would think that because the perception on the outside is that, you know, oh, these actors are, you know, they're rich, right? They're making so much money, which, yes, they are making more money than the average citizen. Absolutely, yes. However, the perception gets really blurred because people feel like, well, you just made $10 million off of a movie role, so you got $10 million in your bank account. Nope. You want to know why? Because let's do the math. As Taraji went on to say in that same interview, that 50% of that $10 million, Uncle Sam comes to collect. So taxes, boom. And then there's the 30%, if that, but it ranges, but 30% for your team, because it's not like Taraji gets these roles, you know, by herself. It's through agents, managers, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's through the team that's like, oh, well, hey, like, I heard about this audition, and I know this person, this executive, this producer, this writer, this director for such and such project. Hey, here is one of my clients, because essentially, yeah, they would be a client, but here is one of my clients, Taraji. Hey, let's pitch her for the role. Okay, you got the role, great. Now, they have to get their commission. The manager, the agent, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to get their commission. The people, if you have employees under you, like, so your personal assistant, your personal hairstylist, your personal makeup artist, your stylist for your clothes, things like that, whoever you have, your social media manager, if you have these things too, you know, so then also, again, commission, everybody has to get paid.
And then what you're left over with, you got to live off of that. Which, yes, it'll still be more than the average citizen, because me and a friend were going back and forth about it. And clearly, I found out through someone else tweeting about it that I had did my math wrong. But that was because I... So it's $10 million that you used in the example. $10 million, right? So 50%, I have multiplied that when apparently I was supposed to subtract that and only multiply the 30% that's given to the team. But in either way, you know, you're left with $2 million, which, okay, damn, yeah, that's still more than I have, right? That's more than you have, right? It's more than we have collectively as a collective. But then, because I remember at one point, apparently, Taraji's son, his school tuition is about like $1 million. Now, I'm pretty sure it's not $1 million altogether, but it adds up, you know what I'm saying? Which I'm like, whoa, okay, that's, whew, Jesus Christ, an expensive education, okay? So, you know, you and again, you still have to live off the remainder. And in her case, you know, having a child, even though he's grown, but still, you know, going get his education, all of that, you know, you got to still provide for them, provide for yourself. And, you know, let's say, because again, you also have to account for where she lives in California, how the taxes are out there, what her mortgage could be, her car note, if it's not fully paid off, or even if it's paid off, you're still paying something on that car. Your health insurance, your life insurance, if you have one, your, like, your car insurance, like, oh, here, your cell phone bill, the groceries, like, you still gotta provide for yourself, you know? And so, even for her to say how she had to fire everybody after Empire, that's crazy. But she did the right thing because, you know, there were talks of a Cookie spinoff. There were. And clearly she was with it, like, hey, yeah, okay, let's do it, because everybody loved the character, right? So let's continue the story, you know, let's keep Cookie going. After Lucius, his character gets shot again for the umpteenth time and gets killed off, well, hey, you know what? Cookie, she survives all the mayhem and craziness, and now we see where what she would have been doing. But how is it that she didn't get any endorsements, any deals with fashion houses, nothing? She got nothing. You have to make it make sense. How is it that this woman got nothing? She didn't get, they didn't have anything set up. And it makes sense because then when you look at her resume in between Empire and a few little roles that she may have did here and there, we really hadn't seen her as much until The Color Purple. And now we know why. Like, seriously, now we know why. Again, we see things, you know, little things here and there, but it's not enough. And so it's very heartbreaking, you know? And of course, everybody on social media, myself included, we're all saying the same thing. It's like, yo, Monique warned y'all about this. She warned us, everybody, whether you are in the industry or not, she was telling everybody. And of course, you got folks that like to police how a black woman protests, right? How a black woman stands up against injustice, mistreatment, and disrespect, because there's no reason why you are in an industry, or that you can be in an industry for 10 plus, 15 plus, 20 plus years, and so on, and you are still underpaid. There should be no reason why an actress with the magnitude and on the same magnitude, hell, longitude and latitude, of a Viola Davis is not getting paid like that of Meryl Streep. And she's even said it, how people love to say, oh my God, you're like a black Meryl Streep. Well, if that's the case, why not pay her like Meryl Streep? Like you can't, it's an underhanded, backhanded compliment. It's like, you know, you're handsome, but, well, what's the but about it? Like, I'm handsome, but what? But I just think if you... That's like somebody telling me to bleach myself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, 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 Holiday. Let's not get too crazy, okay? Whoa. That's the best metaphor I got right now. But it's like, yo, you can't tell somebody, again, like a Viola Davis, that she's like a black Meryl Streep if you're not willing to then pay her like Meryl Streep. You cannot do that. And it's crazy because even Octavia Spencer, she has gone through stuff similar to where in one of her projects, one of her white female co-stars had to basically, you know, use her white privilege and strong arm the studio and be like, hey, check this out, right? Y'all want me to be a part of this movie? That's cool. But my co-star, Octavia Spencer, she got to get paid the same amount as me because you know, how is it that we're on set one day? She's telling me about how much, you know, they got her for. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What? They got you for how much? They're paying you how much? We're going to go negotiate. When she could have easily just left Octavia Spencer on her own. I forget the actress who had stepped in and helped her, but, you know, she could have easily left her on her own. But she stood up for her in solidarity as a woman and as an artist, as an actress. Actresses banding together to have each other's back. And we all, again, on social media are saying how we wished everybody would have had Monique's back. But people felt like, oh, well, she's going about it the wrong way. She's going about it the wrong way. She's doing too much. She's burning bridges. She's this, she's that. And sometimes, I'll say this, some bridges have to get burned. Because if these people who, you know, want you to play the game, and yeah, you've been playing the game, but you're like, hey, okay, I got a family now. It ain't just me and my husband. I have two sons. I have an older son, yeah, and I regret not spending enough time with him. Even though, yeah, we've made up for that time per se, but you can only make up for lost time but so much to an extent. But I got these two young ones, and I want to be in their life practically every single moment that I can, because that's time I can't get back. And I'm now seeing the world through their eyes again, just like my older son. Of course, you know, I'm paraphrasing because Monique didn't say all of that per se, but it's like that's clearly what she may have been thinking and feeling. Is that it's like, yo, let me make up for that time that I lost with the oldest child with these two babies. I just did the movie Precious. I did it as a favor. And she, again, her story always stayed the same. She did this movie as a favor for her friend at the time, Lee Daniels. And, you know, they paid her $50,000 and that was it. $50,000. No back end points, no residuals, no... Oh, okay, well, let's make sure that you're making this much from the box office. No, none of that. None of that. None of that. But then to expect her to do the promo for free, it's like, whoa, wait, y'all have a whole team for this. And, of course, they're getting paid. And I'm just asking, you know, because aside from the accommodations of, oh, hey, well, it'll be a first-class flight, you know, first-class, the hotel, five-star hotel, you know, that all that'll be covered for you, you know, your expenses will be covered. Yeah, that's fine, that's cute. I mean, you should do that. But can I also get paid for this? Because I'm taking, this is causing me to take time away from my family. Do you understand? This is costing me more time for my family. Because sometimes you gotta say, hey, enough is enough. I have to spend time with my family while I have that time. And I even noticed that too in sidebar. I noticed that too in the Renaissance film, which I saw twice. I'm going to probably see it a third time. And I may low-key give y'all a review of it. If not here, it'll be somewhere. I'm going to do a review. I might space it out everywhere. I'm really trying to consider it. I'm really trying to think about it. But real shit, real talk, y'all. Like the way that Beyonce was talking about it with her children, you know, you want to spend every moment with them. You're seeing the world through their eyes, and, you know, being a parent changes a lot for you. You know what I'm saying? While I'm just an uncle, it's like, you know, at one point I did want kids. Do I still want them? I got to see how the world is looking and where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? But even then, it's like, yo, that shit changes you. You move so differently because you got somebody to look after, somebody who depends on you, somebody you got to provide for outside of yourself. But also you know, you just see time so differently because it's like, especially like they're infants one moment and then the next, boom, they're already 6 years old, 12 years old. You like they are growing, honey. They are growing. And you're just like, whoa, 18, 21, 25. Like, damn, you are growing up. What the hell? Like, you know, and so going back to Monique, it's like she just asked to be paid and everybody had a problem with it. And they tried to make it seem like she was ungrateful. They tried to make it seem like this one was ungrateful for this opportunity. Baby, you only paid me $50,000. $50,000. And that movie made how much? Hold on. Wait a minute, y'all. Because we're going to do some math as well. Hold up. Wait. Okay. We are going to shout out to Nate Dogg. May he continue to rest in peace. But yes, we are going to we are going to see how much this movie made in the box office. That's what we are going to do. That's what we are going to do. Because the movie had a budget of $10 million. Box office, they made $63.6 million. So, and even though I feel like that still means the movie was in, even though it was, okay, it was a box office success. Okay, because I was going to say, because the number, how it works with numbers and budgets, like if you don't make, you know, over the budget back in the box office, you are in the red. So even if the movie, let's say, again, budget of $10 million and they made, let's say $20 million, somehow, some way, the studio executives, the accountant, somebody would still be like, okay, y'all, we still in the red. We got to push this movie. We got to do something, which is really crazy how that works, but okay. But they made $63.6 million. And again, Monique was only paid $50,000, which then makes me question the contract that they even gave her. Did they purposefully exclude getting money from the box office sales? Did they purposefully exclude anything else? Because they felt like, oh, well, it's $50,000. You better flip that shit. You better figure it out. Which back then, in those times, even back then, in the times when that movie Precious was made, $50,000, that shit, when you're in a different tax bracket, that $50,000 can probably be burnt out quick. And not because of reckless spending. It's because of day-to-day living. And on top of that, again, she's a mother of three, yes, but two small children at that time. So there's them, your husband, you, you know, your team, because you have a couple of assistants, you got a trainer, you have a chef, you know, so you got people who, hey, you got to pay them. You got to pay them, as well as still have enough for you and your family. I just, it's crazy how this industry is, bro. And even me, because I'm still a 9-to-5-er, right? Still got my 9-to-5 just to stay alive. It's like, yo, this industry, man, everything is being exposed, you know, as we are going through this age of Aquarius. I ain't gonna lie, y'all, this got me contemplating if I really want to do what I know is my purpose in life. And it's like, yeah, because it's like, this is my purpose. This is my dream, you know, what I want to do. It's just a matter of not getting screwed over like everybody else. Like, I just, for the life of me, just hate how things are going, man. It's just fucking crazy, bro. It's crazy how this industry does you, because as she said, Taraji said she almost walked away from The Color Purple. And again, going back to what Monique was saying, that after she won the Oscar, which, ooh, even with the Oscar, let's talk about that, right? Tyler Perry told her, hey, if you are a wrong trophy, child. But if you are an Oscar-nominated actress, because even being nominated, that still gives you a leg up over those who are not nominated, which I'm like, girl, what? Damn, because there's a lot of people who haven't been nominated and they are phenomenal, but okay. Which, again, that's that class is a leader shit. I don't know how, girl, whole nother conversation. But he told her, hey, like, you know, if you are just, even if they just nominate you, this is how much you withstand to make when the offers are coming in after the award show and award season has ended. These types of offers will come in. But if you win, oh shit, girl, you, baby, them offers. Like, he told her what it was going to be, because before she had won, I feel like he's worked with some people who won or got nominated for Oscars. Either way, so.
Oh, why, hello there. I didn't see you come creeping into my attic. Messy, isn't it? Well, no matter. No matter. Welcome to Mary's Attic, the storytelling podcast where your host, that's me, tells you tales that range from the horror section of my collection to the fantastical lands of fairy tale fan fiction. I'm so pleased that you have decided to join me as I take you through tales of mystery and mayhem. Whatever podcatcher of your choice that you're listening to this on, be sure to subscribe, comment, leave a 5-star review, and tell anyone you can about this old attic of mine. After all, attics are truly more cozy when you have someone to share them with. Don't you agree? Mary's Attic is produced by me, Crystal Mary, whose artistic endeavors can be viewed at Mothlace, MOTH_LACE, on Instagram, where links to my Redbubble and published works can also be found in the description box. See you all in the attic.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx. I just wanted to give you a friendly reminder once again. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a comment and tell a friend to tell a friend. Because when this show grows, so do you as the royal court. So I want to thank y'all again for tuning in and just give a friendly reminder to be sure that you are sharing with your friends, your family, your lovers, hell, your one-off, jump-off, whatever the case is, and let them know the Royal Hour is the place to be and the podcast you want to listen to. And now back to the show.
So, as I was saying, and I want to welcome everybody back, first and foremost, thank you guys for still tuning in to the Royal Hour podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. So, as I was saying with the whole situation with Monique, you know, and the whole Oscar stuff, how Tyler Perry told her, hey, this is what the offers would look like just for being nominated. And then, adjust my mic a little bit. This is what the offers will look like should you win. So, you know, she wins it and she's going based off of what, you know, Tyler Perry told her. You know what I'm saying? She's going based off of that. Like, okay, I won the award. The offers are really about to be bigger than what they were before. I, you know, having the resume that I have to, you know, being on a bomb-ass, iconic sitcom like The Parkers and even other all the other movies and stand-up specials that she's done, the Queens of Comedy, and just, you know, and her solo specials, just everything, right? So it's like, okay, yeah, the offer's about to come in and things are about to, you know, take flight, go to the next level, right? And so little does she know, or little does she know, I should say, the offers are coming in. But it's literally as if she didn't do anything. And even if you guys remember from what Taraji was saying in the first segment, how, you know, they act like, you know, when you do something and it's amazing, like, you know, you're a movie that you're the lead of, it does great in the box office, both domestically and internationally. They act like it's a fluke. Like, oh, that's a once in a lifetime thing. Oh, my God, how long has it been since, you know, oh, my God. Like, they really try to brush it off. Which then puts you as the actor, as the actress. It puts you right back at the bottom of the societal food chain. So it's just like, so I didn't just gross X amount of millions off of this movie that was whatever the budget was set at. Again, hypothetically, budget was set at $10 million and we grossed like practically $100 million. Because people really fuck with it. Or even if you, you know, because, again, how the math works, you know. So it's just, it's crazy how they really got these folks out here. And people, again, are feeling like, oh, this is rich people problems. Oh, why should we care? Here's the thing. Yes, these actors, they're in a different tax bracket, of course. However, again, did you guys not hear what she's saying? Even though, granted, from my friend's math the other day, when me and him were talking about it, because again, my math was wrong because of I had multiplied twice the percentages instead of multiplying only one of the percentages and subtracting the other. But once taxes come in, and then even before that, it's like your team gets paid and what you're left with. Yeah, she may be left with $2 million, but she then has to live off of that. But then also, apparently, again, her son's education, you know, the tuition being damn near $1 million. So then that leaves her with $1 million, hypothetically. But again, where she's at, her car note, car insurance, life insurance, dental insurance, health insurance, like all of this stuff, it still adds up, right? All of this to help maintenance for your house, homeowner insurance, and just like all of this stuff. And it's not, and this is not, because there are people who will feel like, oh, well, you just want us to have sympathy for the rich. Girl, I don't give a fuck if y'all got sympathy for the rich or not. Have sympathy for human beings. Because do y'all know what actors and actresses have to go through with these roles? Are you guys on set with them like I am as a director? To where I have to always, because I know for me, I have to always, because of the material that we are working with, I have to always tell them, hey, do not get too deep into this character. To where you cannot, when we yell cut, you still in that world. Because, you know, we've seen what happened, what has happened to people before, you know, with Heath Ledger, unfortunately, with, because a lot of people feel like the Dark Knight role is what really sent him, you know, sent him into that space that he couldn't get out of. To Michael B. Jordan and playing Killmonger and how, you know, and that's why even with that, if you haven't seen Black Panther 2 already, come on now. But even with that, you know, with that movie and that role, how he had to have their intense therapy because he couldn't snap out of it. He couldn't snap out of it at one point. And, you know, people will say, oh, well, you know, the studio should have did this and the studios should have did that. And yeah, they should have, but they didn't really care. They don't care about your mental and spiritual and emotional well-being. Hell, they barely want to pay you enough as is. You're in this industry for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. Again, you have these long resumes where it's like, yo, here's the work. And it still ain't good enough for whatever reason, right? But we know what the reason is. We know what the reason is. And so, you know, it's just super unfortunate that what has been happening has been happening, and that the multitude of women from Monique to Viola Davis to Taraji. And Taraji has always talked about, you know, her, the pay discrepancy for a while. She's always in different interviews. You can always see her talking about it just to explain to people, hey, this is how this shit really works. Because people still think in their minds, oh, you got money. Yeah, they may have money, but not the type of money that we think. I mean, the fact that even for the Benjamin Button movie, Brad Pitt got like $10 million. She got $150,000. Let me repeat that for you guys. Because it was in her memoir that she released in 2016, I believe it was. She got $150,000. He got $10 million for that role. Even though the movie was, you know, it was based off of his character's relationship to her character. Because her character really drove that movie, if we're really going to be honest. And so, knowing that, and again, going back to those percentages, yo, what was she left with then? To only be getting $150,000, what were you left with after taxes and after that 25 to about 30% for your team? Again, your business manager, your accountant, your social media manager, your makeup artist, your hairstylist, your clothing stylist, your lawyer, your, you know, your regular manager, in case the business manager is not taking care of everything. The agent. So that's like 9 people I'm counting already off rip. And if I miscounted, because I feel like I said regular manager twice, I know I said business manager once, but, you know, that's 9 people total that get commission off of you getting these roles, off of you going, stepping out on the red carpets, out of you being on the press run, the press tour for said project. Because they got to catch them flights too with you. You know, at least the makeup artists, the hairstylists, the clothing stylists, you know, certain, they got to catch the they got to travel with you. Everybody eats, B. You know what I'm saying? We do this right, everybody going to eat. Girl, okay, shout out to, no, was it Belly? Whatever movie it was. But, oh, no, it was, goddamn. Fuck, what was that movie? Mekhi Phifer, Jesus Christ, Cameron, and Woody Harris. Jesus, I'm forgetting that movie. But y'all know what I mean. We do this right, everybody eat, B. Anyway, shout out to them. So it's just like, what does that then say about, when you look at it outside of the entertainment industry, what does that then say about the world at large? You know, how Black women still are making a fraction damn near off of white men, what, you know, what they get. And again, you working so hard. To where, that's why, like, the situation with Monique was really peculiar to me, because, You had people who really discredited her and acted like she did nothing. Nothing at all. She didn't do the Parkers. She didn't do Queens of Comedy. She didn't do anything. Hell, even Soul Plane. Like, they really tried to discredit her. Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. Like, they really discredited her as if she didn't do nothing. I remember getting into it with this moron on Clubhouse because he got offended that I was saying how, like, on the comedian Mount Rushmore, for me, I put her up there with the likes of a Bernie Mac and a Martin Lawrence and a this person and a that person. Like, they were so offended. And shout out to everybody who was in the chat that day on Clubhouse and had my back, because I had to get Buddy about the paint, because it's like, nah, you just like to argue with folks. You one of them type that probably, whose ass cheeks are probably stuck together by shit because you don't wash or wipe your ass because you think that's gay. Anyway, shitty booty ass nigga. But it's like people really try to discredit her, because when the whole Netflix thing went down, Wanda Sykes has spoke about how Netflix, they offered her $250,000. She's been in the game, I would say, a little bit longer than Monique, but to offer her $250,000, only offer Monique $500,000, which was $500,000, but then Amy Schumer was offered $9 million. She complained and cried about it because, oh, well, look at what Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, two black men, were getting paid for their specials. So what did Netflix do? Oh, did they decrease her pay and say, girl, piss off and be thankful that we paying you anything? Oh, no. It was, we'll bump it up with we'll throw another cool $2 million in there. So you get $11 million, but Monique was being offered at the time $500,000, and Wanda Sykes was also being offered $250,000. So again, $250,000 and $500,000. But then when Wanda Sykes went to Epics, they had paid her what she deserved. She didn't necessarily disclose it, but she was telling Monique, hey, holler at me, because girl, or better yet, come over, holler at me and come over to Epics, because girl, they paid me exactly what I should have been getting offered. Again, don't know what it was, but even Wanda Sykes was like, yo, girl, come over here, because fuck Netflix, respectfully, even though her specials are on there now, but it's like, yo. And then, you know, people love to say how, oh, well, Monique didn't play the game right and she was so loud and burning bridges. Again, some of these bridges got to be burned. And, of course, a lot of y'all like to think, oh, yeah, I could swim. Okay, great, but you finna be swimming in some real troubled-ass waters. You know how many people, for example, done burned bridges with me? And I know deep down inside, including the magician, if you heard the recent episode, I know deep down inside that they are all finna be swimming in some troubled waters come 2024. And if y'all think, and if they think I'm finna hand out life rafts and lifeboats, girl, you must got me mistaken for the old me that would let you walk all over me like a doormat. Nah, some bridges gotta be burned, either at the hands of the other person or if you gotta be the one to burn them bridges, because, yo, people keep playing with your top. And again, when there was negotiations, these meetings with Netflix, with Monique and her husband, and who is also her manager, with Sydney. And, you know, it's like, yo, hey, my resume don't mean nothing. My resume don't mean that I should get paid more than $500,000. Like, my resume legit don't mean shit to y'all. It's, you know, without saying that, that's damn near what it was, because it's like, okay, we're trying to negotiate. Yeah, well, okay, y'all paid Amy Schumer $11 million. Damn, could a bitch at least get 2 or 3 or however much she was asking for? Because again, how is it that this white woman who is not funny, who nobody really likes, who also, because of her, because at one point Netflix had like this rating system, and I feel like they low-key bought it back on a sneak tip, but there was a rating system, and because her shit got rated so poorly, what did she do? She cried about that, so they got rid of it. And I feel like, again, they brought it back just as in a different form, with the thumbs up, thumbs down, 2 thumbs up type shit or whatever. But they have that rating system that they had to get rid of because of her. So she gets to just, all she has to do is utilize and weaponize her tears, the white supremacist tears, the milk maiden tears. And she could just get what, you can have whatever you like. You can have what, girl, you can have whatever you like. But then when Monique, being respectful, showing grace, being gracious, not trying to be all, oh, well, fuck that. Y'all got me fucked up. Like how most of us be on our jobs, be like, oh, they got me fucked up. But we still end up doing them jobs any fucking way because, hey, bills got to get paid. And, you know, we trying to live a life of just, you know, treating ourselves every now and again. But her and her manager slash husband simply just being like, hey, well, we feel like Monique, my client, who's also my wife, my client deserves this much. Oh, I don't know if we can do that. Oh, you know, finding every excuse not to. And of course, again, people like to be like, oh, well, I don't know what the fuck she thought. People was going to really cancel Netflix for it. You know what? Fine. Because again, the streaming wars and the streaming apps have it to where, girl, cancel Netflix. Girl, I ain't got cable. This is the cheapest thing I can afford. I bet. I'll give y'all that. However, maybe if we, I don't know. Because even if we stop tuning into it, we're still paying out of, it's still coming out of our, you know, our accounts. But something could have been done. Just a call to action. Monique was trying to get y'all to see that it's like, yo, they are not paying us. And I wish that Taraji and others would have really had her back. But instead, they didn't. As quiet as it is kept, this is not to attack Taraji at all. It's not. It's just, girl, you should have had Monique's back. You, Vivica A. Fox, all of y'all should have came to her defense and been like, yeah, she's right. Like, she is right. Like, y'all, they are not really paying us like that. Like, yeah, we may be rich, but it's like, yo, it makes me think about what Remy Ma has said on the Drink Champs when she was talking about how, because, you know, with her, she does other stuff outside of the industry, the entertainment industry. Like, yeah, she'll do a feature here and there. You know, Lord knows she got probably tons of flash drives with unreleased music, but that's because it's like with the music side of it versus the TV, you know, television and film, you know, with the music side of it, streaming is not helping nobody. Not even the richest of the richest top tier. Even Mariah Carey told us how, yeah, All I Want for Christmas, I don't really see all that money that they always say, oh, All I Want for Christmas made this much this year. Yeah, but she wasn't really seeing those millions on top of millions, damn near close to billions. She wasn't seeing that. She was seeing something, but it wasn't that. And I know that shook everybody to be like, what? But no, bitch, she wasn't seeing that money. But you know who was? Spotify. You know who was? Apple. You know who was? The label. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I believe she owns a good crop of her masters, but still the money does get split up and divvied up. But yeah, streaming does not really help artists at all. At all. And who, but then on top of that, within the music industry, Nicki Minaj at one point talked about that. She too was ignored. She too was ignored. And it wasn't until, what was it, either Taylor Swift or Adele, one of the, or Katy Perry, one of them three, but I feel like it was either Taylor or Adele, one of them complained, oh my God, we got to fix this streaming shit. Oh my God, that we're treating these musicians so wrong. But somebody else has spoke about it prior, but all right. But so with Remy, though, she was saying how, like, you know how many broke famous people it is out here? Everybody knows your name. You know, you get the preferential treatment. You get the, you know, the celebrity treatment. But baby, your money is more funnier than a damn jouster in the 17th, 16th, and the 15th motherfucking century, juggling balls and trying to tell jokes to save his life from getting beheaded by the executioner, okay? In front of everybody in the fucking village. So it's just like, again, yeah, these people can be rich or whatever, but baby, you can be rich and broke. Or you rich, because that's the illusion, but, you know, again, you're in a different tax bracket, doing way better than me. However, you're feeling the brunt of a lot of stuff because you have to work so hard, as Taraji said, because it's like, hey, she got a team to feed, a team that depends on her. I mean, yeah, they may have other clients, but if you're one of the top tier clients, yeah, they will work you. Look at what they did to Bernie Mac. They worked that man to death. They legit worked that man to death, and several of his friends, legit friends in the industry, they recall that shit. The cast who worked with him on the Bernie Mac show, a successful show, they recall when he got sick. And, you know, they kept making it seem like, oh, he's gonna make it, he's gonna be all right. And y'all wanted and needed him to be all right. And by y'all, I mean the studio, the executives. Y'all wanted and needed him to be all right because he was y'all workhorse. But the cast, and I'm pretty sure other people knew, man, this ain't looking too good. And he was, oof. Because I'm about to damn near cry like I knew him, right? Because he is from Chicago, but I just remember the interviews of the cast members and, again, the friends who knew him and worked with him and how, you know, he was making plans for when he recovered because he did feel like, yo, I'm going to fight this. I'm, you know, whatever it would, like, he, you know, the illness that took him out. Yo, I'm going to overcome this. I got this, you know, being optimistic, but unfortunately, you know, things happen a different way. This industry will work you to death if you let it. This industry will break you. This industry will destroy you. This, oh, fuck, yo, because I really am not trying to cry. But this industry, it will just take hold of you if you let it. Like, when you are not grounded and you are seeking being grounded, you will accept any type of treatment. You will just let people walk all over you. You will lose yourself, even, and that's even if you knew who you were prior to really being in the industry. Like, I'm talking about, like, being around the decision makers and stuff like that. And I've seen so many people who just, they've lost themselves. I don't even recognize them on the inside. Like, and the people who are in pursuit of, you know, by any means necessary, I'm gonna make it. It's like, baby, I would rather take the scenic route. Whew, because I don't want to lose myself. I can't imagine waking up and not being able to, not being able to recognize yourself in the mirror. I can't imagine not having that same support system that was rooting for you when you were on the journey, on the come up, and now they all gone. They don't even want anything to do with you. I can't imagine, you know, not even having the love of your life with you because you sacrificed that relationship just for this fame shit. I can't imagine being lonely and, you know, you end up falling into the wrong crowd, or you trying to find friends and find refuge in people who say they're your friends, but they really use you. Like, this industry, and we've seen it happen to so many people, what they do, man. Like, it's just fucking crazy how, again, they just use people. They use you for your talent. They use you for your creativity to, you know, they push you and push you and push you, but they'll be damned if they pay you. They'll be damned if they pay you right. Because, and it's crazy how even, like, you know, apparently, you know, because, well, Oprah and Taraji, they had took a picture recently after the whole thing of Taraji voicing her frustrations. And a lot of people, myself included, feel a type of way about it because it's like, you know, what was that conversation like? Because it's like, damn, like, did you hop out to fix this before it became another Monique 2.0 situation? Because it was damn near about to become that. And then you even got Keke Palmer talking about it too, about how, like, you know, when you are running a brand and a business and you are the person, you as the person, as the actor, as the musician, as the entrepreneur, you are the brand and business, you got to work so much and you're still getting so little. It just seems like, I think this, these past few years again, but this year in particular was really the fucking catalyst for people to just say, you know what? I'm going to speak on it. In the words of Candy Burris, speak on it. Well, speak on it then. I'm going to speak on it. And I feel like everybody's feeling that need to just remove that metaphorical muzzle that was on your mouth. Remove it. Free your tongue. Free your speech. And speak your speech and stand on business. I know people are tired of hearing that phrase, but baby, because I had just started hearing it around the time the whole thing with T.I. and his son happened, but I'm going to stand on business. Because when you stand on business, that's you looking the industry and whoever else, the ops, whatever you want to call them, the obstacles in the motherfucking face and letting them know, bitch, you're not finna deter me or destroy me. I am the prize. I recognize that enough. I know my worth. I know my worth. Like, do y'all really realize how bad it is when Taraji is considering quitting? That's how tight and tough it is for her to just be like, man, I might have to say fuck this shit and just go do something else with my life. You know? I mean, think about how many musicians would say stuff like, you know, yeah, I think I'm going to just drop a few more albums and I don't really see myself doing this for that long and da 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 da. Like, I remember some early interviews from Mariah the Scientist when she was saying, hey, I don't really know how long I'm going to do this, but hey, I'm going to do it, get as much money and then get the fuck. I remember Azealia Banks saying it, how she wanted to drop two. This was around the Brookwood Expensive Taste time, era, where she wanted to drop two albums and just go back to school, get her degree and be done with the industry and just, you know, live life. Like, probably still do music here and there, but like, just, she wanted to drop two albums and be done. Like, you know, it's crazy how when like these artists, like, that's why even I feel like, cause Doja Cat, she alluded to, you know, working on a new album already. Nicki alluded to working on Pink Friday 3 already. So it just almost feels like, okay, damn, is everybody, you know, tapping into that Rihanna energy where it's like, all right, let me pump out as many albums as I can. And I'm a dip because fuck this shit. Because this industry is ghetto as hell. This industry is ghetto as hell. Ghetto. Ghetto. It's just crazy because, like I was saying earlier on, you know, cycling back to my point earlier on, you know, outside of this industry, outside of the entertainment industry, let's talk about things like affirmative action, right? Let's talk about it because...
Hey, what's up, everybody? Just wanted to remind you again and thank you all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and comments and feedback. I love that, but also more importantly, it helps with pushing me and the show and my royal court, you all, and my lovely guests who I have on here from time to time, through the algorithm. Doing that helps all of us win in the grand scheme of things. So again, thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a rating and tell a friend to tell a friend and leave a comment. We at the Royal Hour Podcast love you guys for that and we thank you and appreciate you all tremendously. Thank you. Alrighty, and let's get back to the show.
Alrighty, party people, and welcome back to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. So as I was saying, with affirmative action, if you look at the statistics and you see how it has benefited more white women, Asian students, Southeast Asian students, it's basically helped everybody except like the people who fought so hard for it during the civil rights movements. And so fast forward now to 2023, when, you know, these laws and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like from even last year to this year, just everything that's been happening with Roe v. Wade to, you know, affirmative action being gutted and taken away. The people who, in affirmative action's case, the people who were championing, damn, that's a tough word to say, that's a little tricky, ain't it? But the people who were rooting for it to be taken away because they felt like, oh, well, the black students are getting more opportunities than us. Now they realize the error of their ways, you see. Now they realize, damn, we really shot ourselves in the foot with that because it has always been the legacy white students who have been getting in over you, not the black students who we hear about and we see on social media, you know, the stories that don't go viral but should, about these black students who have busted their ass to the point where they have a 5.0 in high school. I've never heard of a 5.0, didn't even know it could go higher than that, okay? 5.0 in high school. They're the valedictorian. They're top of their class. They're the class president, the vice president, this, the that. They are, you know what I'm saying? They're the salutatorian, because I believe that's another one too. I said it wrong. But, you know, yo, these people, these students, these kids are intelligent beyond, you know, their years. And they get all these college acceptances, you know? But y'all think that they're the ones, or even the ones who, you know, they may not have a story that goes viral, but it goes a little viral, but not too viral. They may not even be on that level, but y'all still feel like the few that do get picked, oh my God, they get picked over us. Affirmative action is so wrong. Baby, that shit was really helping y'all. That shit was helping and benefiting y'all. And now that it's gone, oh shit, now are you seeing who the real enemy is? Now, is it clicking for you? Is it? because I don't think it's clicking all the way. I don't think it's clicking yet. I don't think it's clicking yet. I don't think it's clicking yet. Who's really out to create all the dismay, the mayhem, and the chaos, and the confusion? That's definitely giving way to doubt, because it's like, y'all, here y'all are seeing us as the enemies, but we're not, you know? And again, that's stepping outside of the entertainment industry, but just seeing how at large, black women and black girls and black boys and black men, but especially black women in this case, are still at such a disadvantage. There should be no reason why, you know, you have to have damn near 10 fucking businesses to keep yourself afloat. There should be no reason why. But you know why? It's because of this fucking neo-capitalism, this crony capitalism, all this capitalism in general, the patriarchy, all of this shit that is here to destroy us while also draining the literal life out of us, spiritually, emotionally, metaphysically, financially, whatever. And we're throwing everything back, that we're pouring everything back into, it ain't even pouring it into a cup that's running over. It's pouring it into the belly of a beast that will never be satisfied. Their hunger will never be vanquished. Their thirst will never be quenched. And we're all feeding it, and we're unfortunately all participating in it. But damn, are we not seeing how this shit is hurting everybody? Even those who you feel like, well, damn, they doing better than me. Yeah, they may be, but not really. Dude, can y'all imagine what it's like to have a whole fucking team that's depending on you, but they also have to help you, first of all, get the fucking jobs in the first place? Can y'all imagine that? Yes or no? Again, is it Uchiwali or One Mike? And again, I just hate how, you know, when we bring up how, you know, Monique was right, people feel like, oh, well, you know, her message, the way, it's not what you say, it's how you say. Bitch, sometimes you got to just say what it is. And if a motherfucker wants to get offended and try to shut you up and hush, da-da-da-da, because a lot of Steve Harvey tried it. You know, Whoopi Goldberg even tried it. Like, and Monique spoke on that situation with Whoopi that hurt her, because it's like, girl, you're talking about you could have helped me, which, okay, cool, but it's like, damn, bitch, when the shit was going down, why didn't you do it? Why wait until now I'm on your show? And it's like it's like some fucking weird ass humiliation ritual type shit. I don't know, man. It's fucking weird. It's just, all I know is this. For everybody on social media that's talking about how fucked up the situation is, and to see, for it to take, because again, Taraji has talked about this stuff, but not to the extent of where she was so vulnerable and she broke down and cried. Because I feel like it takes for black women to do that for y'all to really give a fuck about them. Megan Thee Stallion cried with the whole situation, you know, dealing with Tory and shit like that, and y'all still was like, oh, nah, that nigga ain't shoot you, that bitch lying. It takes for black women to show their humanity for y'all to really give a fuck. But my thing is, here's my thing. It's this one thing that's got men tripping. Okay, little shout out to A. Marie, but it's this one thing that's got me tripping, bitch. And it's the fact that I hope you motherfuckers on Twitter and on the Instagram and on the TikTok and on the Book of Faces and every other social media site, I hope y'all asses go out and support The Color Purple. I know I will, but I hope you all will too. No, seriously, I do hope all of you will support this, because, yeah, I do hope y'all will support this. Because what the hell? I would hate to see them not make the money that they're supposed to. But again, everybody's like, oh, let's support. Or, hey, how can we help? It's by supporting the movie. Make it make sense, man. Make it make sense. I really want y'all to understand that supporting these people, supporting the arts, you know, as much as people love to say, oh, that's rich people problems, it's like, well, look, art is what keeps the world going, keeps the world alive, and keeps the world thriving, because this world is chaos right now. This shit is chaotic. That's why people would always try to, like, I ain't even gonna say check me, because, bitch, you can't check me, but people would always try to, like, you know, deter from what I would say when I would say that I hope that, you know, for Renaissance, since it is a three-act album, that acts two and three seriously, we need more house music, more dance music. Because think about back when house music and dance music was going on and when it was really popular. Think about it, because think about what was going on during those times, you know, 80s, 90s, you know what I'm saying? Think about what was happening politically and just in the world in general. And, you know, you had this genre of music that just kept the fun going, which, you know, yeah, it's a distraction. Oh, my God, they want to distract us. Bitch, everything is a distraction. Hell, this fucking podcast can count as a distraction. How about that? Even though I be talking real shit, but a bitch nigga can say, oh, it's a distraction. Bitch, your mama was distracted when she should have. See, I be really dragging niggas by talking about their mama, because that's how you know that's how you really get them. Talk about their fathers, girl, please. But their mama, who should have never had them, yeah, that's where you get them. But anyway, I do hope that, like, seriously though, that we do get more house music, more dance music. Also, because I know that she ain't just record them 18 songs, child. She is more. And for her to release My House at the end of during the end credits of the film, yeah, it's more music in that vault, which we already know it is. But it's like, baby, I'm gonna need you to pick at least 20 tracks this time, all house, dance infused. You know, and let's keep the party going, because, baby, this world is going to shit. And this industry is crumbling, the mainstream industry anyways, because honestly, independent media really is the wave of the future. It's just a matter of getting people to support us and, you know, bankroll us and, you know, help us and fund us. You know what I'm saying? Because this shit ain't easy. Like, I do this podcast for the free 99, child. I mean, yes, I do have the ad that tells, you know, hey, for subscriptions, for the episodes where I can really, really, really talk. And I've been slacking on doing those just because I'm like, okay, if no one's subscribing, you know, what's my point? But when they do start subscribing, and I know that they will, it's like, hey, you know, bam, the content will be there. So, you know, that's something that I will dip more into in the coming years. You know, having those episodes ready. That way, when people do subscribe, hey, you guys got some content to look at. Because not everything can be discussed publicly. I mean, hell, this episode really should have probably been a locked one, you know, behind a paywall. But hey, you know what? Look, we're going to talk. We're going to talk as freely as we can. But yeah, it's just like, I do this, you know, because I love it. I love it. And I love talking to y'all. I love sharing the episodes with my homies, with my friends, the friends that actually do support me. I love hearing the feedback, you know, because shit ain't easy out here. But I do it because I care. I do it because I care. And with that being said, I want us to care about other people's issues and problems just like we want them to care about ours. I know people love to be on that eat the rich shit, da 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 da. Girl, look. A black woman, regardless of her being an actress, regardless of her being in a different tax bracket than us, you know, working class, middle Americans, whatever, or even those who are the working poor, is crying about the frustrations of an industry that she has given so much of her life to. The least we could do is show that we give a fuck, and also, again, go out and support the damn movie, okay? But y'all, this is all I got as Prince Onyx. I'm getting ready to sign out. This is a bonus episode before the year is over. Who knows? You might get another one. Yeah, it really depends. Like, we'll see what happens this weekend. Because I really, like, after the other episode that I dropped where I talked about the whole situation with me and the magician, I was like, yeah, I'm done. But baby, this shit, I just could not ignore, because it's all too familiar. It is a familiar outcry against justice. It's an outcry that is all too familiar when it comes to screaming into this endless void of injustice that is inflicted upon each and every last single one of us. So I leave you guys on this note of keeping your head held high, remembering and knowing that you are the prize, and never letting anyone deter you or break your soul. Never letting any industry or any people or demons take hold of you and change you into something that you are not, into someone who you are not. And if you guys don't hear from me until 2024, I want to wish you guys a happy holidays. And, you know, bringing in the new year strong and making the smartest of moves and decisions, because it's a lot of shifts and changes and transitions happening and taking place within all of our lives. And what we have to learn, just be wise and pay attention to all the lessons. I walk away from the situation with the magician, for example, knowing that, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take a chance. I'm not going to sit around and wait for the chance to present itself and be like, hey, pick me. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we ain't got to do that pick me shit. You know, we ain't got to do that. I'm going to take the chance. If the mood is right, you know, as a wise woman once said, tonight's the night, the mood is right. Anything I choose, he buys. I observe by his shoes and ties. He preferred the exclusive kind. Converse over blues and wine. Tonight's the night, the jewels is bright. Anywhere I move, he likes. He is searching for a cutie pie. He can scoop and sign. Keep that blue dress down to your Louboutins. Keep my calm, keep my cool. Heard you got a boyfriend. Well, he's a deuce. You want to see the little Bambi in the nude? Chocolate candy, licorice too. Want to book a ticket, get physical soon. Head of the class. But I got principles too. Arch on my back, give him a view. He want to taste the cinnamon too. Sex is a race, I'm winning it too. I'm a rude prince, but I like gentlemen who spend dividends, Benji's residuals too. When he put it in, not remembering you. Who's your boyfriend? Never a clue. What? Anyway, shout out to Azealia Banks. Anyway, that was Esta Noche from the Fantasy mixtape. Because, whoo, child, that sample and the way she was rapping that, of course, I put prince instead of bitch in case y'all didn't pick up the gender changes and stuff like that. But anyway, girl, look. You guys have yourselves a good one. Love y'all lots over here at the Royal Hour Podcast. Whew, we made it this far, y'all. This year, beat all of our asses. But again, we made it this far. And just know that, again, the sunny days and the sunshine are coming. And I'm not just talking about the summer and the spring when the seasons change. I'm talking about the abundance, the joy, the pleasures, the treasures, the peace, the happiness, the love, and everything else that you desire. It is coming. You just got to hold on just a little bit longer and keep the faith. Stay grounded. Stay prayed up. This too shall pass. Ashe and amen to each and every single one of you. Peace. We out of here. Hey guys, what's going on? I just wanted to let you guys know, before we get on up out of here with your good guy here, Prince Onyx, I just want to let you lovely people know where you can find me. So if you are in the TikTok streets, you can find me at Prince of the Go. That is PRINCEOFTHEGO. And the Go is short for Chicago. Or you can just simply type in Prince Onyx and I will pop up. Now that same name I just gave you, Prince of the Go, you can also find me under that same moniker over at Instagram. You know, trying to keep in tune with the whole Prince royalty background, you know, the brand. And you can also find me under my second Instagram, Prince of Gotham, with the number one, and Gotham, like, you know, Gotham City, you know, in case you guys haven't put two and two together, comic book reference. And you guys can also find me at Fanbase, Prince Onyx. And you can also find me on these Twitter streets, Prince Onyx World. Now that, after you spell out Prince, the Onyx is O-N-Y-X, all capitalized, and World is spelled W-R-L-D, so it's World minus the O, and that is all capitalized as well. So be sure that you are following me and keeping up to date with me and staying in touch with me, as I want to hear from you lovely people. And other than that, we will go ahead and get on up out of here. So I love you guys lots, and let me know your thoughts on this recent episode. Until we meet again, peace. Oh, and how could I forget? You can also find me on YouTube, Prince Onyx. Hello, come on now. I'm definitely trying to keep this brand going and going and going and going. Not even trying. I am keeping this brand going. But again, I just want you guys to know where you guys can find me. All right, talk to you later. Peace.